on A, but of course you know him for his outstanding work as the managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. Follow him on Twitter at Tepper, and that's Greg Tepper who joins us now. Tep, how you doing? I know you're getting close to Fatherhood Part 2 any day now, right?
Yeah, Monday. Monday it's coming. So, you know, everyone's asking me, like, are you ready? And I'm like, does it matter? Like, I mean, yeah. It's just like, you know, whether ready or not, here it comes. So, we're excited around here.
Yeah, and I would say some might ask the questions of some of the teams in the state quarterfinals. All right, I'm going to go completely outlier here with you for a minute. Top of your head, and then I'll throw in a couple of other ones in there. Off the top of your head, what is the most unlikely state quarterfinalist in any classification, in any division, in your estimation right now in the Elite Eight? What is the most unlikely, surprising, eyebrow-raising state quarterfinalist?
Okay, this is tough because immediately like three sprung to mind, so I'll cheat. One of them is certainly like from a where they started in the playoff perspective. I think it has to be Tomball. I mean, this is a team that had to win their Week 11 game just to get into the playoffs, and now they're in the regional final. And by the way, I think they might beat Bridgeland and make it to a state semifinal. They've gotten white hot at the right time, and they, you know, they of course started with that win over Cy Park in the Pi District round. Then they go and they were able to go and knock off Rockwall Heath this past week to make it to the regional final. That's certainly one of them. I would say from a preseason perspective and a preseason expectation, it's Little Cypress Mauriceville, because Little Cypress Mauriceville went 1-7 last year, brought in new coach Eric Peavy. We had them last in the magazine, last in their district, and now they're in the regional final. I think they got a 50-50 shot, basically, of knocking off Chapel Hill and making it to a semifinal. What a remarkable job Eric Peavy has done in his first year there. The third one would be, if you want to go more historically and over the course of Texas high school football history, I think it has to be Whitesboro. Whitesboro is a program that you may remember back in 2011, they made the playoffs, and that was big doings because it was the first time they'd ever made the playoffs. They started playing football in 1911. They go 100 years without making the playoffs. They make the playoffs, and now they're in a regional final, albeit against district rival Brock. It'll be a tough climb, but what an unbelievable turn historically for them. So it kind of depends on what frame you want to look at it, but those would be the three that I would say are the most surprising, the biggest party crashers here in the regional final.
There you go. There you go. See what you think of these other two. Add a couple other ones in addition to ones that you listed there. Keeping it in 3A Division I, how about the team from around here, Lago Vista?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about Lago Vista is that they just keep doing this. Like every year that it seems like they do this. Like they lose a couple games in the regular season, and we kind of go, oh, okay, well, you know, they're just not all that good. You know, maybe they're, you know, they'll make the playoffs, get bounced first, second round. But then they just get really hot in the playoffs and start playing. This is like the second or third straight year they've done this. And so maybe we should start expecting it. But yeah, I think they play a little bit of possum. I think Lago Vista is one of those programs that plays a little bit of possum, and then they get hot at the right time. And by the way, another team that you do not have to squint hard to see them beating Vanderbilt Industrial to make it to a regional final. I mean, or a state semifinal. I mean, this is a Lago Vista team that's playing exceptional defense right now. They've stepped up in a big way, and I think that they're ready for prime time. And so, yeah, that is certainly one that that surprises us. Although there is a bit of a historical precedent for them to surprise us like that.
Okay, and then the other, speaking of state semifinal, is a state semifinalist this week. How about Klondike in six-man 1A Division II?
Yeah, this was the real, you know, this was the real kind of surprise, because I think that, you know, when you take a look at the six-man brackets, whenever they come out, well, six-man football tends to be a little bit more chalky, just generally. You tend to know a couple of favorites, and you expect them to go at it. But in 1A Division I, Klondike would probably be, I would say, third on the list of teams we expected to be there, in the state semifinal. Maybe a team like fourth. I mean, you take a look at this. I would say that Follett and Anton were the two teams that were undefeated, and then we also saw that, you know, Groom was a team that looked really good as well. And sure enough, you know, Klondike able to get through. They knocked off Whit Harrell in the first round of the playoffs, which probably should have been a sign that they were doing something right. But this Klondike program has gotten really hot. Now, their reward is the number one team in the state in Motley County, but they're here and they're in the semifinals, so they got an opportunity to make it to a state championship with 40 minutes of ball on Friday. So yeah, Klondike certainly qualifies as one of those surprises, one of those party crashers here in this fourth round of the playoffs. It's the state semifinals for six man.
Okay, all right. Now I'm going to go the opposite direction and say, and I'm going to have to right away pull Alito out of it. And say, other than a 10-time state champion in Alito, other than Alito, who is the biggest surprise by not being in the state quarterfinals this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple. One of them, I would say, you have to go way back to the first round of the playoffs with Childress. Remember when they suffered that really staggering first round upset loss. That was to Stanton. That was one that I think everybody kind of looked up and said, okay, that was a team that we expected to be in state semifinal. That's probably one that stands out. I would also say that you have to look at Carthage. You know, look, well, Carthage has now built themselves into a program that anytime they don't make a at least a state semifinal, if not make a title game, if not win the title game, then you have to consider it a bit surprising. But that would certainly be one. You know, but give a lot of credit to China Spring knocking them off last week. We knew this was a bit of a flawed Carthage team that especially offensively had some issues throughout the course of the season. Well, I'll tell you, what China Spring did last week was certainly impressive. That would be the one that I would say, those two, between Childress and Carthage, those are probably the two that are probably the most surprising to not be here, you know, who were upended in some sort of way. Although, you know, look, the fact that we're not going to see Canadian in the state semifinal is amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it had been an annual holiday tradition of Gunner and Canadian playing in the state semifinal, and we're not going to get that, you know, courtesy of Abernathy, who now draws their district bunkmate Lovett Roosevelt.
Yeah, your ears are burning because someone just texted in, and they texted me with this question the other day and asked me the same question. I'll put it to you in the way they put it. Is Tep saddened to know that Canadian versus Gunner Roman numeral 8 will not be happening?
Yeah, it's a little strange. It's going to be odd, like, you know, because I think Gunner has holiday this week, the Battle of Unbeatens. I think Gunner's a favorite there. I think they're, in my opinion, they look pretty clearly like the best team in region 2. Holiday certainly surprised me and pulled this clip and make me look silly, but I think that Gunner's got to be a favorite there. But yeah, they're going to see either Roseville or Abernathy, and it's going to be strange. You know, I think they're going to get there and be like, you're not them. And what's going to be very interesting, I think, this is my personal opinion, I think if you're Gunner, I think you're rooting for Abernathy, and here's why. I think you match up a little bit better with them. They are a little bit more conventional in the way they go about their business. They've got a great quarterback in Jess Hull. They're a team that I'm pretty sure that Gunner has seen a team like Lubbock or like Abernathy, in the sense of, you know, they're just a really good football team. You know, they play a lot better than a lot of teams they played, but schematically they're very similar to a lot of the teams they've already played. Lubbock Roosevelt is a crazy guy in a fight. You don't know what you're getting. They run that wild kind of option offense. They run the ball exceptionally well. Their defense has been mostly very good. That's what's going to be very interesting. And so I think if you're Gunner, you'd rather see Abernathy in the state semifinal than Lubbock Roosevelt, because I think that you have seen schematically things like that. But speaking of round 8, we also get round 8 of another annual tradition, which is we get Lubbock Cooper and Wichita Falls Rider for the 8th time in 37 months.
Wow.
37 months. They're now going to play 8 times. And Matt Steff, our Dave Campbell Texas Football High School insider, was talking with Mark Bendel, the head coach at Ryder, earlier this week. And he said, he was like, look, I'm just so tired of seeing these guys. He's like the thing, and there's a lot of mutual respect. I think these two programs know how good the other is, and they got a lot of respect for each other. But I think they're just tired of playing one another. They're like, I mean, I would have to go back. It's been a long time since we've had two teams play 8 times in less than in basically 4 seasons. It's really remarkable. We almost got it. Actually, the best avatar would have been Argyle and La Vega, which made that an annual. They'd play in the regular season, and then they'd play again in the playoffs. But, of course, both of them have been eliminated this year, and so they weren't able to play. They've only played 7 times in the last 3 seasons. So it's so strange to have two teams that are so, in my opinion, so clearly the best teams in their region that then also happen to schedule each other in, or also are in the same district, so they have to go at it twice a year.
Talking with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. True or false, fact or fiction, of the defending state champions still alive, the one most likely to go down this weekend is Denton Ryan?
Ooh, let me think through them. Yeah, so the state champions who are still alive, 6A Division I, Austin Westlake, of course, will have a new 6A Division I state champion by virtue of Westlake going to the Division II bracket, but I think Westlake... I think Westlake's a favorite, although I would not call them a comfortable favorite over Vandergrift. I think Vandergrift's going to have a real opportunity defensively to give them a little bit of trouble. I think this might be the best defense that Westlake has played, which could give them a challenge, but I still like Westlake in that one. 6A Division II is still alive, of course, with Katy. Katy should not have a problem, in my opinion, with Humble Summer Creek this week. 5A Division I, we'll get back to Denton Ryan. They're still remaining. Then you have to drop down to the 2A ranks. I would say maybe the other one will be Shiner and Refugio, because Shiner, of course, the defending 2A Division I state champs. They are in their annual dogfight with Refugio this week. That is a team that, I mean, that's a, I don't know how you split those two. Those two teams look so evenly matched. Neither of them have been challenged this year. They have just been just mollywhopping people, and now they're going to go head-to-head tonight in Victoria. And then March should not have a problem, in my opinion, with rival Chilton or district rival Chilton. They already beat them by 48 points earlier in district play. I would say that it's 1 and 1A, right, between Denton Ryan and College Station, and then Shiner Refugio. You know, the Denton Ryan College Station game is really interesting because this is both these teams are coming off of results that could cause you to raise an eyebrow a little bit, in that their relative strengths got a little bit exposed last week, both of which on the defensive side. You know, you take a look at College Station, they got pushed in a real way by Frisco Wakeland. I don't know that I ever thought Wakeland was going to win that game, but they were pesky. They just kind of stayed within arm's length of College Station. You know, College Station would score and go up 17, and then Wakeland come back and score or something like that. And it just, you know, it was a bit of a bizarre exposure of their defense that we haven't seen necessarily. Going up against this Ryan defense that last week got kind of pushed around a little bit by Longview. And this is going to be the real interesting matchup in that game of Ryan and College Station is going to be that Denton Ryan defensive front, which has been so nasty. Going up against the offensive line for College Station, there's been maybe no better player in the state recently than Marquise Collins, the running back for College Station. Ryan has to slow down that running game. If they don't slow down the running game, the game might as well be over right now. They have to slow down the running game and make Jet Huff beat them, which, by the way, he's really good too. So that's what's going to be really interesting. I think both those games figure to be a lot of fun, the Shiner Refugio game and the College Station Ryan game. I would say I believe I like Shiner to beat Refugio, although that is as coin flip as it gets, and I do like College Station to knock off the 5A Division I state champs.
All right. The computer, out of all of its projections, has two games listed as pick'em, meaning it could go either way. There's a few that are just one-point games, like Mount Vernon West and Lago Vista Industrial. Those are the aforementioned Shiner Refugio. It likes Refugio by a single point. Bridgeland Tomball likes Tomball by a point. So there's several one. But only two games are listed as true pick'ems. One of them is South Oak Cliff against Lovejoy. The other pick'em game is Stephenville and Melissa. So what are your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I agree with the computer. These do seem too close to call. We'll start with the first, which was South Oak Cliff and Lovejoy. You know, obviously what South Oak Cliff did last week was special to knock off Alito. I mean, it's one of those things, and we talk a lot about it, that there are teams that are certainly good enough to beat a team, but being good enough to beat Alito and doing it are two very separate things. And for South Oak Cliff to hold their nerve and to come up with big plays down the stretch was incredibly impressive. I think that Kevin Henry, the difference for South Oak Cliff this year is a quarterback, in my opinion. They've added Kevin Henry Jennings, who is a Missouri State commit, right? So he's a solid quarterback and does everything they need him to do. And then, of course, that death row defense has been absolutely outstanding. Now, you know, look, the tests keep on coming because they're taking on a Lovejoy team. Obviously we had kind of penciled in as potentially the Alito Slayer. Well, they don't have to be Alito now. That's the good news. I will say the last couple of weeks for Lovejoy have taken a little bit of shine off of them. Of course, you go back to the region, to their regular season finale, where they lost to Frisco Liberty. That game, you know, that was one that, I think really made people kind of sit up and pay attention. And then last week, they really had to squeak by Mansfield Timberview 24-20. The defense came up big, but the offense was a little bit shaky, and I've got bad news for them because here comes a defense that is feeling it in South Oak Cliff with big-time playmakers. So that is going to be really interesting. How much stock do you put into how well or how kind of, I would say, lackluster Lovejoy has been recently? The other one, Stephenville Melissa, is a tremendous game. You know, it's another situation where we kind of take Aledo and La Vega for – or not Aledo, Argyle and La Vega for granted. We kind of pencil them in to deepen into a regional final. At least one of them will be in a regional final. Here we go without either of them. Stephenville last week against Argyle, that was a real gutty win. That's how you have to beat a champ, right? You have to go out there and kind of hold your nerve late and be able to come up with those big plays, and they did. They scored late and then came up with a big defensive stop. That's how you beat a champion. Their defense has been really the unsung star of that team. We talk a lot about Ryder Lambert, their quarterback, Coy Aiken, their wide receiver, but a lot of what they do starts with their defense. You know, going up against a magma hot team in Melissa, who started off, I believe, 0-2 on the season and have rattled off 11 straight, and they have been outstanding. I mean, just really impressive, especially that defense has been something to behold lately. They are one of the very most dangerous defenses in the state, and what they did last week against La Vega, we probably, if it weren't such a bonkers week last week, we'd probably be talking a lot more about it. But that is to go out there and to really body La Vega, handed them their worst playoff loss since 2013. I mean, they really went out there and dominated them. And that's really impressive. Sam Finnegan, their quarterback's been great, but it starts with those defense. I actually think that Stephenville-Melissa game is going to look a lot like the Stephenville-Argyle game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring, just, you know, take tire irons to one another type affair. I think it's going to be a really fun matchup. And yeah, the computer's probably got it spot on. If this is decided by more than one possession, I'd be really surprised. These two teams look really, razor's edge type stuff.
So our Pleasant Grove fan texted in and said, if Pleasant Grove finds a way to take down Gilmer, should we just go ahead and make Josh Gibson the mayor of Texarkana? Isn't he already? I don't know. Okay. But and by the way, speaking of Texarkana, is maybe the best under-the-radar matchup this week, Texas High against Crosby?
Yeah, I'll fight against that because, you know, yes, Josh Gibson, you know, which could certainly run for mayor and potentially win, but he'd have to win a runoff with Jerry Stanford right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that, like what they're doing. Those are two most popular guys in town. What a year for Texarkana. You know, and now, you know, what Pleasant Grove has done, and I've said this before, and there's nothing that has changed my opinion off this from a couple weeks ago. Everyone is making a huge mistake by letting Pleasant Grove hang around these playoffs. They're making a massive mistake because this team is almost entirely comprised of freshmen and sophomores and juniors. Like, they're all coming. A lot of those guys are coming back in 2023 as well. And by giving Josh Gibson, who's already established himself as one of the best program builders, one of the best coaches in the state, by giving him an extra month of practice, you guys have screwed around, and you're going to that bill's coming due. Like, y'all are going to pay for it. Like, they're going to be a lot better next year because of what they're doing this year. And I think that, you know, I think Gilmer's got to be the favorite. They've already beaten Pleasant Grove this year, and they beat them relatively soundly. I think Pleasant Grove has gotten better, but I'm not sure they've gotten that much better to close that gap. I also think Gilmer's gotten better. But for Pleasant Grove, y'all have done messed up by letting them hang around. That's a mistake. The other game you mentioned, Texas High and Crosby, is really interesting because of just the pure strength on strength you've got going. The Texas High defense, which is lights out. I mean, it's one of the very best defenses pound for pound in the state, with a number of big playmakers, most notably the Texas commit Derek Brown off the edge. I mean, they're monsters defensively. Going up against one of the hottest offenses in the state in Crosby, who hung 54, I believe, last week in a wild shootout win. That strength on strength matchup is going to be really interesting. There's also a bit of a revenge element in this one. You got to flash back to last year, and I know that feels like 100,000 years ago, But last year, Texas High was really cooking with Crisco. They looked like the team to beat there in Region 3, maybe outside of Fort Bend Marshall. This looked like that the year for Texas High. And then that's when Crosby really started. That's when they launched their campaign and their run all the way to AT&T Stadium, when they knocked off Texas High and they kind of bodied them. And so Texas High would certainly like a receipt for that one. And I'm very interested in how that game goes, because I also have some questions about the Crosby defense. And Texas High will grind you into dust if you let them. So very intriguing matchup, and I think you're right. One of the more underrated matchups of the week.
So in wrapping this up, here you are 4 days away from the birth of your second child. I take it then you were unable to convince Jen to let you drive down to Victoria to see Shiner or Furio tonight.
That was a tough conversation, and I will ask anybody in the I'll ask anybody out there who has a kid how that conversation would go in their household, and you guys know the answer of how that went. But I will be locked in. We'll have it live on TexanLive.com, and I will be locked in tonight. I will be ignoring my family and watching Shiner and Refurio tonight in an absolute slobber knocker, These two teams do. I'll say this about Shiner and Refurio: they don't play boring games. So even if you don't know anything about these two teams, you will be highly entertained between Refurio and Shiner. It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Hey, Tep, appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you again on Saturday.
I'll see you then.
All right. That's Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. And he and Rick Renner and I will have High School Scoreboard live on Bally Sports Southwest Saturday night, 11 o'clock, recapping everything that's happened this week on the playoff scene. Coming up, we have another Longhorn Notebook and more when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn.